Let us turn to Hebrews chapter 13 this morning. Hebrews 13, we will read the whole chapter. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what men shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, and today, and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a strange thing that the hearts be established with grace. For it is a good thing that the hearts be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar, whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate, that is, outside the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience, in all things willing to live honestly. But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in few words. Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he comes shortly, I will see you. Salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints. They of Italy salute you. Grace be with you all. Amen. The words that we want to look at this morning are in verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. We have in these words something concerning the work and the ministry of elders. And the words that we especially want to look at are these words: they watch for your souls. And as we look at the installation this morning, as we look at the welfare of this church, we must realize that the office of elders is extremely important. Now we can explain this importance by looking again at the crisis that happened just recently to many charitable organizations in Singapore. When you have leaders lacking in integrity, it brings a downfall to the organization. When you have leaders who are not committed to the vision of the organization, then the organization will never be able to proceed and to do the work that it is supposed to do. One of the things that was brought out in this whole saga concerning the NKF is that leaders must be transparent. Leaders must be transparent, and so the organization. And this is what we want to do this morning, to be transparent about the office of elders. So we know what they are called to do, what is their ministry, and how that can, of course, be of advantage to the church. But we are not going to do something which is very technical this morning. We are not going to have a classroom lecture on what elders are for. But we want to look at these very precious words. They watch for your souls. The importance is because of a practical reason. They watch for your souls. And so that's the first thing we want to look at. Souls need watching. And then secondly, elders care for your souls. And we must also learn how to support the elders. Souls need watching. Sometimes in the Bible, the word souls is used to mean life, the totality of life. But here, the application and the use of this word is quite different. It doesn't just mean totality of life, physical life, and also spiritual life. But I believe here, the use of this word is to look at the inner life of Christian believers. The inner spiritual devotional life of everyone who is a child of God. They care for your inner life. That spiritual life that is related to your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Elders are not appointed, ordained to care for your physical well-being. They belong to the office of deacons. Elders are not doctors. They dispense medicine when you are sick. But when you are sick, they do something more important than just giving you medication. James 5 says, when you are sick, you call for the elders to pray for your life, your spiritual life. And here the text says, they watch for your souls, your spiritual life, your well-being spiritually. Now the book of Hebrews here give us a very good reason why they watch for your souls. And for this, let's turn to chapter 2, verse 1. Chapter 2, verse 1. Here the book of Hebrews gives us a reason why our soul needs watching. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them sleep. And then, of course, we have in verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Here, the Bible speaks about the possibility and the danger of drifting away in our spiritual lives. The word sleep there in the King James is actually the picture of a boat drifting away from the harbor. And that's the danger that the book in Hebrews wants to bring out. Our lives need watching. Because souls can drift away from the Lord Jesus Christ, from attending worship in the church, and from a spiritual commitment. This is also emphasized again in Hebrews chapter 6. Let's turn to that, Hebrews chapter 6. verses 1 to 4. And notice that verse 4 brings out again the danger of backsliding and apostasy, drifting away from a spiritual commitment. Verse 4, it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good words of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance. And so here is another reason for soul watching: the danger of drifting away, backsliding, denying the elementary teachings of our Christian faith. Now, the book of Hebrews, of course, was written to Jewish believers. Some in the Jewish community have been converted to Christianity. In other words, they have abandoned their Jewish tradition. They have put away the law and the ordinances of Moses in the Old Testament, and they have embraced the Lord Jesus Christ. But you must understand that this is, of course, a very radical change. The transition must have been very, very difficult, because in Judaism, everything was very well organized. Everything was very impressive. There were traditions, there were ceremonies. You could look at a holy person because of the priest's garment. You could tell that certain things were very holy and sacred because of the furnishings in the synagogue and the temple. But when it came to Christianity, everything was very simple. At that time, they did not have church buildings as we do have now. They worshipped in homes, in small communities, sometimes outside in open air. And Christianity and true religion has become so simple. Of course, not simplistic. No more rituals. No more organized ceremonies. No more imposing structure. Impressive traditions. And after some time, many of these Jewish converted believers drift away from this simplicity of the gospel, and they move back to the Jewish traditions. And that's why the book of Hebrews contains many strong, stern admonitions. You are drifting away. Your soul is in danger. Come back to the elementary of the faith, to Jesus Christ Himself. And this is so important, isn't it? We can be distracted by many things in our lives: material things, our earthly calling, the many controversies within Christian church and community. And we forget it is Jesus Christ who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our commitment to Christ must never drift away. But of course, we have to look at our own situation and ask that question and apply that question to ourselves this morning. What are the things that can cause our soul to drift away? Important, isn't it? We must never be presumptuous. Even we may belong to a very good Reformed church that preaches the truth, but we must never equate our attendance in a good church with a good spiritual well-being. Crucial question: what are the things that can cause our soul to drift away? Let me suggest three. More than this, but this is for the purpose of self-examination. One thing that can cause our soul to drift away is when we become more and more worldly. We find it very difficult to give up the worldly life. It's attractive, isn't it? Here we have so many shopping malls, so many attractive discounts, and of course there's a very strong pop culture in Singapore. Not that things themselves are sinful, they are not, but many times what we have in the city here in Singapore is a very covetous culture, a very greedy attitude, and we want to have because simply we want to have. Comparing ourselves with others, we have become very covetous, and we are always consuming. And we think that driving a fast car is very stylish, and living in a very posh district is impressive. And of course, we want to maintain success. And so we become very brand conscious. We have to be careful of a very covetous attitude. Easy for us to do that, to be led away by the consuming culture, and then to drift back into the world. Another reason, another factor that can cause our soul to drift away is when we do not have time for devotions. Perhaps this is the most common cause of Christians in Singapore to lose their spiritual zeal. And in all our pastoral visitations every Monday night, the elders find this to be a very common struggle. We all have good desires, we all have godly intentions, but the fact is that we are living in a very busy, stressful city. And even if we want to maintain a good, stable, steady spiritual life, but we are forced by circumstances to work extra hours, to go for courses, and to toil for our organization for sometimes 6 days a week beyond even ordinary stipulated hours. And that makes it very difficult, isn't it? Our body is tired. Singapore is so hot and humid. And by the time we reach home, we have newspapers to read, we have children to care for, we have homework to do, there's always a test tomorrow, something to do the next day. And it's so difficult to read the scriptures. But again, it should never be used as an excuse for not nurturing a Christian spiritual life. 7 days a week, maybe you cannot read the Bible every day, but certainly 7 days a week, there must be time for nurturing the devotional spiritual life. And when we don't do that, our soul will drift away. One more reason, one more factor. Some drift away because they are not able to cope with the crisis in their lives. Personal crisis. Can be financial, can be health, medical, physical. And when there's distress and discouragement, and it comes to a level that is very acute and you cannot cope with it, the consequence can be depression. Someone wrote to Time magazine some years back and said that this is the age of depression. Now, when something like this is said in the media, there's always a self-fulfilling prophecy. Oh, the experts say this. And you know what we do in society? We take that as something that is ordinary, normal, common. And we feed ourselves into the mold. And our discouragements become depression. And we label ourselves as depressed people. Yes, there are genuine depressed cases. But when we enter into that condition of depression, usually Christians will question God. Is God good? Where is God in my crisis? We become introspective. We become so burdened by our problems. And it is because of all these situations in the church that, brethren, we need elders. Elders have a positive role. Establish truth. Teach sound doctrine. Ensure that there's no heresies in the church. To keep the church together because of the truth. But notice the text here puts to us a very pastoral emphasis. They watch for your souls. And that is why we need elders in the church. So let's come to the main thing in the text. They watch for your souls. Our souls need watching. Mine too. Yours as well. And this is what elders are to do. They watch. The word there is not the word guarding. Sometimes we use the word watch and we picture a soldier standing at a tower watching over the fortress, We use the word watch there to mean standing on guard, watching over the city, securing the city, watching for the enemies coming, invading the city. That's not the word here, guarding. But the word here actually is a very pastoral word, because the word here is used to describe the work of a shepherd caring for the flock. Of course, this picture is not very familiar to us because we live in a concrete jungle, no farm. And I realize that today our students, they have to go to a farm in Yio Chu Kang to look at chickens and hens. So we have no farms. This picture is not very familiar to us. But the emphasis is the same. The shepherd watches over the flock, and the idea there is caring. And so here, elders care for your souls. And the Bible here, in using this picture and this word to speak about the work of elders, tell us again that elders are assigned a very pastoral work. Their office is actually the office of shepherds. Let's turn to 1 Peter to understand this. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 1. Elders are ordained to the office of shepherds. Shepherding. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder. Notice, Peter, apostle, he calls himself an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be with you. Feed the flock of God. Notice the shepherding figure and picture, who is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for futile lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Notice here, the office of elders is described as the office of shepherding. Now, we don't call our elders pastors, of course. We call the teaching elder, pastor and reverend. But actually the word pastor means shepherding. When we call our reverend or the minister of the word pastor, we are speaking about the function of his word, of his work. The function is pastoring, shepherding. Although we do not look at our two elders as ministers of the word, or we address them as pastors, but realistically, they are pastors. And I say this on the basis of 1 Peter 5. We have not one pastor, so to say, in this congregation. Yes, there is a teaching, preaching minister assigned for the work of preaching and the sacraments, but we have three pastors, so to say, because they are pastors shepherding the flock in this congregation. It's important as we look at this text, they watch over your souls, that we understand this aspect of pastoral care of the elders. Now, in a Protestant church, not just in a Reformed church, but in all Christian churches, whenever they have in the church government the office of elders, they call the elders ruling elders. Ruling elders. The emphasis there is that they rule in the church. They rule in the preaching, in church councils and matters. They rule over your souls, which of course is an important emphasis. But we need to emphasize as well, very importantly, the aspect of pastoral care of this rule. They exercise a pastoral love and caring. They watch as shepherds over your souls. Now again, in a country here in Singapore, the word watch used in our neighborhood is used to speak about police watching the city. You notice that in television we have a program called Crime Watch. And when you live in HDB apartments, sometimes you belong to a community that has neighborhood watch group. And we use the word watch in that sense for crime busting, for the protection of the neighborhood. But you must never regard your elders in this way. Your elders are not policemen. They are not in your homes to inspect every detail to see if there is a spiritual crime committed. So never read the word watch in that sense. They are shepherds. Now the question, of course, is how do they watch? How do they watch over your souls? Now here in this congregation, because we don't have so many members in the church, you find that even when we have two elders and of course three with the minister, that it's very easy for our elders to be involved in your personal life because of the size of this congregation. And even though we have only three elders, but our elders are very active in many ways. They are active in pastoral visitations, active in intervening in personal crisis, where for example there's sicknesses or death. In a larger church, this will be done by deacons, but here in this church, we notice that elders are very involved when there's someone in the hospital or someone is sick and dying. The elders are there. And elders are very involved, of course, when people have spiritual struggles and they need someone to talk to and they need direction and guidance. Elders are involved. But I want to draw your attention to verse 7 as we think about how elders are to watch over your souls. Look at chapter 13 and verse 7. And this is what the Bible says. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken to you the words of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Now here in verse 7, the reference is to those elders who have already gone to glory. In other words, these are elders who already are taken to heaven. No more actively serving in the church. Notice, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken to you the words of God. And consider their testimony, the end of their lives. And what I want to look at in this verse is, what here the text speaks about how they rule over your life. They bring and they speak to you the word of God. And this is where the elders are different from the deacons. The deacons bring the collection, bring the mercies of Christ to minister to your needs when you are poor and needy, not just in a materialistic way, you're lacking in certain materials, but if you're lacking in certain other physical ways, the deacons are very involved. But when you're struggling spiritually, and you need counsel and guidance, this is what the elders do. They take the word of God. They may not be preachers. They may not be able to speak very well. They may not be very eloquent in the platform and pulpit. But elders are leaders who come into your personal life with the word of God. And sometimes in pastoral visitations, I myself am quite surprised and astounded at the wisdom of the elders. Because of their experience, because also of what they've gone through, and the counsel they've given to many struggling Christians over the years, they have built for themselves a very rich spiritual resource and reservoir. So that when they come to visit you in your personal crisis and life, they come with a rich reservoir of wisdom. That's why there is always wisdom to speak first to the elders. They open the word of God to you and they tell you this is what you must do. Sometimes the word that they bring to you may be very strong, their admonition may be quite stern, because they could see the danger, the consequence of your actions. But very often you'll find that the approach of our elders, and of course all elders, should take this approach. The approach is encouraging, because the word of God, when it's given to a situation that is discouraging and distressing, the word of God is intended to be encouraging. And this is how elders care for your souls. They encourage you with the word of God. And that's why verse 7 says, concerning those elders who have gone away ready into glory, it says, remember them. Remember their advice, the word of God, their counsel. In this regard, they are like doctors. When you go see a doctor and you are not well, the doctor would examine your body, look for symptoms in order to understand the sickness. And after he has inspected the symptoms, look at the case, he will write a prescription. And then he will give you, of course, the medicine. Elders are like this, isn't it? They look at the spiritual symptoms, they study the sickness, they look at the word of God, and they see the word of God in this text deals with the situation, and they take this word to you. And the result is that you have the word of God to tell you what to do. And many times when the elders come to visit you in your setting, the elders have never imposed the word of God upon you, but they direct your attention to the word of God. Now the word of God says this, do it according to what the word says. They care for your souls. So you see here, as you look at the word soul and what it looks at, and the spiritual problems that our soul has in life, and the work that the elders are supposed to do, that you realize that God is very caring, isn't it? This is why Christianity is so different from all other religions we have here in this city. I once was a Buddhist, and I know many of you belong to a different religion in the past. The only time that we see the Taoist priest or the Buddhist priest is when there is a funeral, isn't it? And when there's a crisis and we need chanting, and that's where you find this priest present. At the end, you give an ang pao, and that's the end of the relationship. But in such a system, can you understand at all the idea of a caring God? I can't, because the relationship is so impersonal. But it's different in Christianity, isn't it? When elders come to your home in your personal life and bring the word of God, sometimes the situation is so difficult that the elders will weep together with you. And that's because that is what God is. He is compassionate, He's caring, He cares for your souls, and He brings that care to you through the elders. And that's why the admonition of this text finally is that we need to support the elders. They watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief that is unprofitable for you. Obey them that have to rule over you. Submit yourselves to them. Submitting. And that means placing yourself under the care of the elders. Doesn't mean that you disclose all your lives to them. Now, there was a movement that was quite recent in some years. I think some churches still practice this approach. It's called the shepherding movement. It was started, I think, by some Pentecostal group. It even affected some Reformed Baptists in the United States. And the idea of this movement, called the shepherding movement, is that the elders care for every detail in your life. And not too long ago, some years, you remember, there was a church in Singapore that did this, a very large church. And the elders will decide who you marry. That's frightening, isn't it? that the person comes to the elder and the elder says, here is a single sister, here is a single brother, in all points they are godly and they are matchmakers in the church. And they would of course make a phone call to you. You are not in church. What were you doing on Saturday night? What activities were you doing? Why are you not in Bible study and prayer meetings? And this was for a while a very popular movement. And there were some churches doing this. But when the text says submit yourself to the elders, the idea is not open and disclose your private life to them. So I can tell you that the elders in this church are not interested what you do after school. That belongs to the care and the concern of the parents. The elders in this church are not concerned about what you do on Saturdays. But they're concerned about the fact that you should be in church on Sundays. Place yourself under their care because they're concerned about your spiritual well-being. Now, how we do this? Let me suggest four things before we bring this to a conclusion. How do we submit ourselves to the elders so that they serve with joy and not with grief? Number one, recognize their authority. Recognize their authority. Now, of course, in this congregation, we don't have members of parliament in this congregation. Maybe one of our young men next time may be members of parliament. Perhaps, you never know. After all, we have members in our churches that are involved in politics. But assume that we have a member of parliament here. He makes decision for the country, he makes decision for the city. But when he is in the church, he comes under the rule of the elders. And he must recognize the authority of the elders. And so when he errs, and when he sins as well, he may even be the president of this country, but when there is a sin involved, the rule in the Church of Jesus Christ is that the elders rule in the church, not the statesmen in the city. They may be ordinary men, taxi drivers, hawkers, ordinary men with general work, or maybe a successful businessman. But when we ordain a person to the office, the Lord Jesus Christ gives to the person authority. And we submit ourselves to the authority of Jesus Christ. Number two, resist not their counsel. Resist not their counsel. In other words, consider their advice, cooperate with them. Because usually when they come to you, they come not just with an individual decision and opinion. The elders are very careful. Whenever they give advice, it's because they have discussed the spiritual issue, they have come to a consensus, and they speak to you about what the elders together think about your life. But the Word of God says this, you have to consider this as you make your decisions about your future, about your present circumstance. Do not resist their counsel, but listen to their advice. Number three, receive them into your homes. Receive them into your homes. Let them come into your families. Pray for the children, and that they be involved in your family worship, that is, when there's pastoral visitation. Let them speak to your children about their school work as well, that they do this spiritually, knowing that they're Christian children. Now, of course, if you're not married, invite them into your life so that there is a time in which you can open your life to the elders and they can pray for you as well. Receive them into your life and homes so that they can minister to you. And this is why relationship between elders and members are very important. And Sunday is the time to nurture that relationship. If the relationship is too formal, it's too cold, it's very difficult, isn't it, for us to open our homes to the elders. And finally, this is what we must do. Remember them in prayers. Remember them in prayers. Because they are at the forefront of a spiritual battle. They are to guard the church, hold on to the truth, and the text says, they are accountable to God for your souls. That's perhaps the most difficult thing to do as elders. Whenever someone leaves the church or someone is struggling and finally is no more in church, we ask the question in the leadership, have we done something wrong as elders so that the person was caused to leave the church? Because we are accountable to God for that soul. It's very difficult. It's always a struggle in this respect. So pray for your elders. They are accountable for your souls. They have a battle to fight. And they must be wise in all that they do. They have a testimony to bear, a witness to live. I can tell you that the way the devil destroys the church is the same way how he destroys NKS. Destroys the integrity, the testimony of the elders, and people will begin to doubt the church. Pray for two elders, especially at this time when they have to be at classes to make important decisions. Pray for them. They rule over your life, watch over your souls. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for these words that instruct us about the office of elders, and we thank you that we can understand that you are a caring God, and that you are God who also watches over our soul in and by the Lord Jesus Christ and through the office of elders. We give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.